My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Momentarily. This season, I keep talking about just how much fun it is, Andy, because it has been. To sit back and watch these games has just been an absolute blast. We go to the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. She's back after a little well-deserved break. She's Mandy Bell from MLB.com, where she covers the Guardians. Hi, Mandy.
Hey, Mandy.
Hey, guys. How are you?
How was vacation? I saw some pictures there on Instagram. Looked like you had a great vacation.
Yeah, it was awesome. We went up to Banff in Canada, and it was truly unbelievable. The views, it just doesn't even look like it's real when you're there, so I'm sure the pictures don't look real whenever you've seen some of those, but yeah, it was great.
That's outstanding. And you came back just as the team started to get going again. Thank you for doing that.
It might have been because you left.
Yep, they lost 9 out of 12, and you know you weren't around for most of it, so nice.
Yeah, exactly. There you go.
We talked earlier in the show. A bunch of things are back. The lead in the division, Lane Thomas's swing, Kyle Manzardo, starting pitching. Let's start with the starting pitching. The last three games, not only do you get effective pitching, but you get pitching that goes into the sixth or seventh inning. How key is that for this team to develop at this point down the stretch, Mandy, when we've heard about a bullpen that's been used heavily this year?
Yeah, all those things are super important to be back, but the starting pitching is just number one on the list, obviously, because not only has the bullpen been overworked this year, but it's just you can't go into the playoffs without starting pitching. You can't rely on the bullpen. You have to have some key starters. Even if there's only two or three of them, you need to make sure you have those guys. And outside of Tanner Bibee, they didn't have anyone this year. And so if Gavin Williams is starting to settle in right now, if Matthew Boyd and Alex Cobb, the two guys that you took some chances on in hopes that, yeah, they didn't pitch all year this year and they're coming off of some pretty serious injuries, but we're just going to hope that they could pan out and be what we need them to be. If all of this kind of works out, it's going to be, one, really impressive and I think a little bit of luck involved there, but two, it's so needed because you get into the playoffs, if they hold on to the bye, they have a 5-game series, but if they don't, they have a 3-game series. You need to have stellar pitching or at least above average pitching, which they haven't had this year, to try to get through that. So for them to come alive right now, this could be like the most perfect timing that they could have asked for.
Mandy, Stephen Vogt, I mean, like, he had so much success early on. He had to think, oh, man, I know there's no way he was thinking it's going to be this easy. And he's had some lean times right now. But your thoughts on him as being a rookie manager in a stretch run here that is super important?
I think you'll learn a lot about him during this stretch. I think we started to learn a little bit more about him whenever they struggled a little bit over this past month. And so, I mean, honestly, since the end of May, for the most part, they've been around a team. And so to try to keep getting the best out of this team that's obviously outperformed anything that anyone expected them to this year, he's done a really good job. And he's figured out how to mix and match as much as he needs to. He hasn't been afraid to use his bench. He hasn't been afraid to try to ride the hot hand. He's been able to be aggressive for the most part. He's really, really turned to that bullpen and relied on them and figured out a way to do that without overmaxing one guy or two guys to this point. He's balanced out everything as well as he could have so far. So it's been pretty impressive as a rookie manager. I know Carl Willis has helped tremendously, and Vogt would be the first person to tell you that, of how much they've leaned on Carl this year. So to have that veteran presence of a guy who's not only been around the league so long, but around this team so long now too, that's been really important for him. But it seems like he's really outdone himself of what he could have done in his rookie season so far. And I think we'll learn even more about him going down this final couple weeks here to try to clinch that playoff spot.
Mandy, big differences between Steven and Terry Francona in the way they manage a team. Does something major jump out to you or no?
Well, I mean, if you're just thinking of like recency bias here, of like what I remember everyone on social media mentioning to me of Tito just not maybe being as aggressive in the coming off of the bench. Last year, I remember every possible post of every fan about not pinch hitting for Miles Straw in situations, or just sticking with the same guys and not mixing up the lineup very often. I think just for recency purposes, that's what I remember most of his final season. And Vogt hasn't done that. I mean, Vogt had Tyler Freeman every day in center field at the start of the year, and that's not something we saw Tito try to do and mix up and try to find a different position for some of these guys that you knew coming up would be middle infielders. And if it didn't work, then that was just sort of it. I know we saw Ahmed Rosario out there for a little, but we didn't really see too much mixing and matching going on to try to get some of these younger bats in. And I think it just seems like Vogt has tried to get as creative as possible to try to see, okay, well, if we have this guy here, well, he doesn't really fit in the picture here, so let's try this or let's try that, and coming up with different ways to try to see whose bat would be hottest at what time. And it's gotten them a lot of success this year.
Let's talk about Lane Thomas for a second. The last, four games, he's been pretty good. You know, I think he's like 6-for-12 in the last four games. So on there, is it just a matter of dropping him in the order, or was there adjustments made, or what's the theory behind Lane Thomas being able to contribute? Because I'm sure it was weighing on him.
When you talk to Vogt about it, he continues to say he just got off to a slow start, and that happens. And we knew he was a good hitter, and we knew he would get there. I'm sure there's a lot going on behind the scenes of fixing little things. But when you talk to Vogt or talk to most of these guys, they just say you just need to ride it out, and you just need to allow it to happen and stop trying to do so much. And it sounds so cliche, but for his case, it probably does make a difference a little bit of just trying to settle in, because he's coming in not only to a new team, but a team that was expecting him to be this big difference maker, since that was really the only acquisition they got offensively, and they were trying to help this lineup. And there's a lot of adjustment period to just learn new guys, but there's pressure that comes along with it, and you're trying to help them at a time where they started to struggle a little bit more. And you weren't being the guy, you're immediately penciled into that number two spot in the order. So I'm sure that there was just a lot of him trying to do too much. And after time, you can just settle in a little bit more, and eventually it'll turn. And I think he's gotten to that point where he finally can breathe a little bit of a sigh of relief now.
Mandy, I'm a little surprised that they didn't look to the AAA team for some offensive help when things weren't going very well. When the rosters expand, they bring up Kyle Manzardo. He hits two home runs in his first game, his first two major league home runs. That's terrific. How do they use him moving forward? Do you think he's an everyday DH against righties? If a righty's there and David Fry against lefties, are they going to platoon that? Or how do you think Kyle's going to be used?
Probably just because they're the same player right now. David Fry can't play in the outfield, or he can't catch right now. Or maybe he can, but they haven't said that he can't, but they're not playing him there because of his elbow giving him trouble all year. So it just seems like if you have Manzardo and Fry being backup first baseman and DHs, it just seems the most plausible that they're just going to be platooning them, since they're on either side of the plate when they're batting. So I would guess that that's the case. They've been very clear that they have no intention of having Manzardo play first base. So it's going to just be down to platooning Fry and Manzardo, and maybe if he just stays ridiculously hot and just keeps hitting and hitting, then maybe he'll get a couple more ABs than David Fry in a couple of matchups. But I would expect that it would just be a platoon situation now for DH.
What was the word with Cobb after yesterday? That no pain, everything was fine. The way he was pitching 2 days ago. He looked absolutely fine, and just we were talking about the possibility of a perfect game, no hitter there, and then the pitch count, and the fact that he went up to vote and said, "Hey, look, we got to do what's best for the team." I want to make sure I've got that story 100% correct. So, can you walk me through that, and then just obviously he must be feeling good health wise.
Yeah, obviously he's perfect through five at that point, and his pitch count was already starting to get up there a little bit more. They had him on a little bit of a stricter pitch count than they normally would, just because this was his first start in 18 days coming off of that fingernail splitting open. So he knew the situation, and he said, "Look, I understand that there's like a superstition that you can't have any pitchers warming in the bullpen whenever you have a starter on the mound with a no-hitter going. I didn't want to have Vogt overthink that." He's like, I knew he would do the right thing anyway, but I just wanted to offer that reassurance of going up to him in the fifth and saying, "I understand the situation. I know you're going to have to do what you need to do. So just go ahead and do it and make sure that the guys in the bullpen are prepared to come in whenever they need to come in." So, I think we all knew that he wasn't going to be making it nine innings, but for him to just give Vogt, especially in his rookie season, of like, uh-oh, there's this perfect game going. What am I going to have to do? This is going to be brutal of a conversation to have with him. Just to give him that extra reassurance before he even got to that point, it just shows what a 36-year-old veteran brings to this team. We're so used to so many young guys. I think it just sort of alleviated any of that extra pressure that Vogt would have had. But he gave it up in the sixth anyway, the first batter. And whenever he came in afterwards, he said he felt great. And I cannot believe his nail grew back as fast as it did. It's really impressive, because it was, from what I heard, I didn't see the pictures. I wasn't there whenever he first had this injury, but from Zach Meisel, Paul Hoynes, they were telling me that they saw the pictures of it right away, and they said it was really gruesome. So he was showing us afterwards, and it's completely back somehow, and that's really awesome that it was able to heal up that quickly for the Guardians, because they obviously needed that type of performance, and that started to create this little domino effect now of getting some really quality pitching at the right time.
Mandy Bell joining us, covers the Guardians for MLB.com. Cobb comes in, obviously had the injury situation, but Mandy, he showed the other day on Sunday what he might be able to bring to this team the rest of the way. Matthew Boyd comes in and has been really good in every start that he's had. How unlikely of a combination that you bring in two pitchers who hadn't thrown a pitch in a major league game this year, and fingers crossed, it appears to be working.
Yeah, I really didn't think. I thought maybe they would get lucky with one of them coming back strong, but so far to have both of them look as great as they have, they've really, like, it's like winning the lottery here that they were able to pull that off with two guys. Is it just that they're pitching so well, but they're veterans, and this team really does need that. And it seems like we talk about it a lot, and it's just not really understood how important that is, especially whenever they're going into the playoffs and they're going down into important stretches like this. It's really crucial to have that veteran experience to try to lean on. When you have such young guys in the rotation, in the bullpen, it can really help feed off of that. And I know the Guardians were hoping that they would serve as those presents whenever they were brought over here. So to have a mixture of that leadership plus the outstanding pitching they've gotten from them, it's really put them in a good spot.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
This is kind of a non-baseball question, but I think it's been really interesting to watch them get 30,000 plus every weekend now.
Mm-hmm.
But, and you know, it's just, you know, you talk about how it affects the fans. How it affects the players. I don't even know if that's a true question, but I do think it's been impressive the way that fans have come out all season long, especially on the weekends, where you can, you know, you promise these guys, hey, you got a chance to play in front of 100,000 every weekend, and how important that is for the franchise.
We've asked these guys multiple times this year, all throughout at different points of the season, how important it is to be playing in front of such big crowds, and they all say the same thing. They truly seem to mean it. It doesn't seem like it's just canned answers when they know that they're supposed to say it. They all say it is so important. It fires us up. We hear it. It makes us so excited, and I think it's reflected in their home record. It's been excellent all season. I know they didn't do great against the Royals at home last week, but still, their record is truly, I think it's reflective of that. Yeah, it could just be a coincidence that their attendance is great this year, and then their home record is one of the best in baseball this year, but still, it does seem like it's been affecting each other, and they all seem like they really, really do enjoy whenever the crowds are packed. So it's been fun to see that, because I don't know. We've had such a weird few years. You had that COVID season whenever it was all empty. Then you had, like, restricted seats. And then last year they didn't play that great. So just to have it be where it's packed all the time, it's been fun even for us to sit there and listen to the crowds get as into it as they are.
Mandy, how is Stephen Kwan handling a second half of the season that I don't think any of us saw coming?
It seems like when we talk to him, it seems like he's as level-headed as it gets, and that's just his personality. But you know it has to be, like, eating him up a little bit behind the scenes. Nothing that he would actually show. But, yeah, as a competitor, you're going to want to try to fix whatever's going wrong as quickly as possible. And he started the year as hot as possible. I mean, mid-June, you're still looking up at the board, and you're like, oh, my gosh, is he going to get to 400? And now that he's sub 300, it's fallen off pretty rapidly, and that's tough for this lineup that uses him as a spark plug at the top of the order. But if there's any person that could handle it mentally as well as he's doing, it's truly Kwan. And so the fact that he's able to try to block it out and keep grinding through to try to find an answer here in the final weeks, it's going to be difficult because this is obviously weighing on him. But when you talk to him about it, he truly does seem really level-headed and just trying to figure out the answer and stick to his plans and just let it come to him and try not to chase it too much.
The way Lane Thomas is hitting it, I know Andy just asked you about Lane. Does an outfield of Kwan, Thomas, and Noel make sense on a most everyday basis the rest of the way?
I would think so. I mean, I don't know how you don't have Noel out there every day at this point, just because the threat of that bat, even if he isn't hitting the homer, the threat of it in the back of pitchers' minds, I mean, that's a scary bat to face. And at any point, we've now seen it multiple times, he can change the game with one enormous swing. And you have him out there, if you have Lane Thomas settling in, and even when Kwan is scuffling the way he has been, he still always puts up quality at-bats, and he's still working the counts. He's still doing the job of a leadoff hitter. So you have all those three guys. It seems like that's the best combo that you can have right now.
Welcome back. Glad they're in first place for you. And we're going to give you credit.
Okay, I'll take it. The credit.
Mandy, appreciate your help. Thank you.
Thank you, Mandy.
Yep. Thanks, guys.
Mandy Bell, MLB.com. joining us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. I want to go over that outfield when we come back. It's Baskin and Phelps here on The Fan. Hody with a 2020.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.